This is Sports Jam. I'm Doug Doyle. Street Soccer USA's mission is to fight poverty and strengthen communities through soccer. Street Soccer USA has recently been selected as a recipient of the FIFA Global Citizen Education Fund for delivering valuable projects coinciding with FIFA's Unite for Education campaign. Of course, the world is watching the World Cup as it comes down now to the finals at New York, New Jersey Stadium in East Rutherford on July 19th. Street Soccer USA has also launched the 26 for 2026 initiative campaign to build 26 street soccer parks and learning centers across the country. And here to talk all about this is the Chief Leadership Officer, Tim Helfrich, who oversees programs, strategy, and curriculum across the expanding national footprint of the nonprofit organization. Tim is also an entrepreneur, business executive, educator, musician, and soccer coach. Welcome to Sports Jam, Tim.
Thank you, Doug. It's awesome to be here.
What a great time to be talking to you, obviously, as we, you know, we talk about the World Cup and we talk about Street Soccer USA. Tell us why last year you wanted to get involved. You were teammates for the founder of this organization at Davidson College.
That's right. I've been a fan and supporter of street soccer since its inception. Founded by Lawrence Kahn, who I played soccer with in the late 90s at Davidson. A fantastic organization with a fantastic mission and impact model. And, you know, we'll talk more about that. But the timing, you know, in the lead up to the 2026 World Cup, and you talked about the 26 for 2026 initiative, was really exciting to me, and represented a massive challenge for the organization to try to take this sort of grassroots organization that had a national footprint, but across, you know, six or seven cities, with four or five of them being sort of fully mature, and then committing to, you know, operating across 20 plus cities, and building out these parks. And so, you know, a big challenge at an exciting moment for the sport, and have a lot of trust in Lawrence. And he thought that, given my background, maybe I had a few things to add. And so we jumped in, and it's been just incredible.
Your background, as I mentioned, you have your hands in so many things. So a perfect way to get into the discussion about helping kids. I mean, a lot of what you have done through your life is about helping kids, whether it be a coach, an educator. You like to give back, obviously, Tim. I guess that's your MO.
Thank you. I mean, I certainly have tried to orient my life around impact. And in addition to supporting youth and driving wellness initiatives, also really interested in community building and really, you know, street soccer sits at the vortex of all of that. And so, yeah, again, really believe in the work that they do to uplift lives and to change the trajectory of young people's lives and alter outcomes, and also while building and strengthening communities, as you mentioned from the mission statement.
Yeah, the strengthening communities. Tell us how soccer can really do that.
I mean, I think that that's actually what it does best. You know, whether it's, you know, the feeling of being on a team, the relationship between teammates and a coach, you know, the way that families can interact with teams and get to know each other, the way that, you know, being on a team and playing soccer breaks down so many traditional barriers, be they racial, ethnic, or socioeconomic. And then in our organization, you know, we, you know, my title is Chief Leadership Officer, which speaks to our belief that, you know, Street Soccer USA is a leadership development organization. We, regardless of where you enter our ecosystem and for how long you're there, we want to be investing in you and your development. And a lot of that does bleed out into the community, so that, you know, these players that are in our organization become great citizens of their communities. And in particular, we like to look at the player to coach pipeline, which is a robust part of our organization and growing, you know, where we take youth who have come up through our programming they become coaches, they get their first jobs, and they're from within their communities, and they're put into a position to really uplift the next generation. So community building is really at the heart of what we do. And like I said, I think it's at the heart of soccer across the globe.
Why do you love this game?
I mean, soccer in my life has been an enormous gift. It has taught me, I think, in a lot of ways, everything I need to know. You can always know more, I guess. But, as a parent, as a business owner, as a musician, as a friend, I so often draw from lessons that I learned in the sport. And then I love the aesthetics of the sport. I love the way the opportunity for such nuance in terms of how a team approaches the game or reacts inside of a game. In the World Cup, the Men's World Cup this summer has been a great display of that. So many teams playing so many different ways, with so much personality. And then games like the England Argentina game, where the momentum inside of the game is so drastic and dramatic and compelling. So, and then obviously there's the global aspect of the sport. And I've had the opportunity to travel globally with the sport and to see it in different parts of the world is it's beautiful. They call it the beautiful game, and I think that's been my experience with it.
Since you mentioned the semifinal game between Argentina and England, Argentina has this knack of coming from behind or just late heroics. And it's not all Messi, too. It's his teammates. Defending world champions, they just seem to come together at the right time. As a soccer coach and someone who's followed this game and played this game at a high level, both in high school and college at Davidson, what do you see about this team?
Well, soccer is a 90-minute game, and so oftentimes the last 10, 15, 20 minutes of that 90 are really, really important. And so, what do you need to do, and who do you need to be as a team to consistently arrive at that most tense phase of the game? Is everything. The best teams, over the history are the teams that show up in that latter stage. And I think that collective belief has a lot to do with that. And I think that, Argentina has put that on display. I think that they have earned that belief through the last World Cup, a confidence that they know that they can do a thing. And in this World Cup, they learned early that they could come from behind. And so they've leveraged that belief and that confidence multiple times now. And it's so fun to watch. But to your point, they roar to life in the latter stages of the game and just put relentless pressure on the opposing defense. Messi is a phenom, but it's a collective effort, and it's been awesome to watch.
So Argentina takes on Spain, and Spain with a tremendous effort in defeating France 2-0 in the semifinals. So what's your prediction for the finals at East Rutherford at the New York, New Jersey Stadium, MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford? What do you think's going to happen on July 19th?
I think it'll be an exciting game, and certainly either team can win. I was blown away by what Spain did to France, a French team that most people thought looked untouchable. And, Spain took all the life out of them early on and throughout that game. And so I think that's the best performance that I've seen from a team. I think if I had to guess, I'd say Spain advantage, but it's soccer, anybody can win. And again, I think that the last 20 minutes, Argentina is going to have a chance to do what they've done.
Tim, I've only really started to pay a lot of attention to soccer. My son-in-law Joe is an Arsenal fan, so he's been really introducing me to the sport for a while now. So I thought I had it all figured out. When I watched France play, I said, no one's going to beat that team. And obviously, I'm already wrong when it comes to how these teams are perform. Another thing that's interesting to me, Tim, is unlike some of the other sports, you mentioned the last section of the game can be the most important. Some players have already been replaced by that time in the match. And I find that interesting because it's really strategy by the coaches. Who are they going to insert in the lineup and when that will make a big difference? It's something that soccer is almost unique in that, isn't it?
It is for sure unique in that, the no re-entry rule I don't believe exists in any other sports.
As you watch the games, the United States, you're with Street Soccer USA. A lot of people thought the USA maybe could advance past the round of 16. It didn't happen this year. Belgium took them out quite easily. What was your reaction to that match?
Oh, it was a discouraging match. I think a discouraging performance. I think the personality that the U.S. displayed getting through the group stages didn't, didn't they didn't bring it to that knockout game against a very good Belgium team. So no doubt it was disappointing, as most World Cups have been in the end, and they are disappointing in the end from every team but one. I think when you sit back and you look across US soccer and how it has grown in terms of participation, but also in terms of performance at the highest level of men's and women's competitive soccer between 1994 and today, it's objectively an incredible expansion and growth. And so the way in which our team competed, the style with which they played is does and did represent a ton of growth in our sport. So that still is a big takeaway. And the enthusiasm across the nation around the sport is something I've never experienced in my lifetime. And I think and I hope that feeling and that excitement for the sport doesn't go away. It only grows. And then obviously to circle back to me and really to our organization and where we exist inside of soccer is that we want to make sure that the excitement of that sport and the access to the sport it is for everyone, and that we can make the sport as accessible, as inclusive, and as affordable as possible. And there's a long, long way to grow inside the US for that. So that's a long-winded response, but steered it towards what we do, and how this World Cup is relevant to our work.
We've talked a lot about this in other sports gyms regarding soccer. The accessibility is what makes this such a beautiful game. All you need is a ball, roll it out. It could be a street in Ethiopia, it could be somewhere in Australia, it could be all over the world. And another beauty about the World Cup is that young kids who are involved with Street Soccer USA and your organization get to see the best players in the game. And I'm not just talking US, right? We're talking Mbappe from France, and we're talking Erling Haaland, from Norway. It's just unbelievable players. And of course, Messi, with Argentina, that they don't necessarily, they can see themselves in all different colors on the pitch as well.
Absolutely. And our, we serve, as you can imagine, a very global population of families and of children. And one of the exciting things for us across multiple cities, including here in New York, New Jersey, is that our program participants have had the opportunity to walk out as player escorts. And we will have some of our participants from Brooklyn and the Bronx will be walking out the players for the finals on Sunday. And it's been amazing to see. And oftentimes, to your point, they look like the people that they're walking with. And so yeah, fantastic to for our players to see it on television, but to see it up close and personal and to hold the hands of their heroes is really, really special.
Street Soccer USA has been around for quite some time, showing that soccer has been a big part of this country. North Carolina is extremely special to you. Davidson College, not only were you a player there, but you also help out as a coach there. What is it about Davidson that was that attracted you there first? And tell us a little bit about your experience there as a player and now as a coach.
Sure. Well, yes, I've fallen in love with the Davidson community as a as a student athlete, and then as a business owner, and now as a father raising my family inside that community. So, have a lot of deep relationships, and I married a woman, born and raised in Davidson. So, we're pretty well rooted there at this point. I moved around a lot as a kid, and so I had never really rooted in the one place. And so Davidson in my life has been sort of the first place where I really felt that true sense of community. I was attracted to it as a student athlete, and that it was unique as a small liberal arts college that also competed at the Division I level. It's truly one of one in that regard. I grew up in Connecticut, and so was also interested in experiencing a different part of the country. I liked Davidson as a student for sure, but it's been over the years that I've really grown to love it, and the opportunity to give back to the men's program as a part-time assistant coach has been really sweet over the last 5 years.
I would be remiss not to mention, since we are a music station, that Tim Helfrich is also a musician and has his own record label. Tell us a little bit about that, and how is that meshed at all with soccer?
Okay, well, I'll try to wax philosophical about that if I can. But I've played music and been a part of bands in college and out of college. I toured for a little bit when
And
I
you're a
first got.
drummer. You're a drummer, right?
I'm a drummer. And through my coffee business in Davidson, we launched a music program that's become, just a really cool local music scene. And so I mentioned before my interest in investing in community. And so that's been a part of our strategy as a coffee business, is to leverage music as a community building tool. And that's really what our record label is about. We're about creating live performance opportunities for local musicians and recording opportunities for local musicians. So we produce a few records a year. We manage music across a couple of different local venues and put on an annual music festival. As far as music and soccer, I mean, again, if you interact with the World Cup, if you go into stadiums, you can't miss how music intersects with it. There's singing, and dancing, that's just integrated into the fan experience. And then to get a little bit philosophical, as I said, I'm as a drummer, I think about myself as the center back of the band. I played center back myself, and actually now, as a parent and even inside of street soccer, I like to think of myself as the sort of drummer of the organization or the center back of the organization. You're kind of typically you're sitting behind, you see everything, you're dictating the pace of play or the music. So I think that there's some interesting things there.
So you mentioned your coffee business, Summit Coffee. Tell us about it.
Sure. Summit Coffee is Davidson, North Carolina based coffee business. I have owned it, and now I'm a part owner, but I was the majority owner for many, many years. My brother now runs the business, but it was a one store Main Street college town coffee shop for about a decade. And then we expanded into roasting, and then eventually started adding cafes. And so we now have 21 cafes across the Southeast. It's been an awesome business to watch it grow. And then actually, again, to bring it back to street soccer, having taken a coffee business from a single store entity that was deeply rooted in its town and tried to replicate that across other cities and develop a playbook for how to integrate into different communities. That's a very, very similar to the challenge that is facing Street Soccer USA now, as we, enter Miami and Boston and Kansas City and Fort Worth and Tacoma, for the first time, and we build these parks, which become this sort of brick and mortar inside these communities. And then what's the playbook for how to build that programming from scratch, how to integrate inside that community, how to start having the impact, that we want. It daily reminds me of the challenges that we have faced as a coffee business.
What advice do you have others who want to see parks grow in their communities and soccer pitches and things like that? What advice would you give them?
It's a team sport. So I think that part of what street soccer is really good at is understanding teams. And so, but to your question, I think that, if you're in Hartford, Connecticut or Worcester, Massachusetts, and you want to see something come to life, you have to have teammates. And so, being clear about what it is, being clear about your vision and your intent, but bringing other people onto the bus, giving them the opportunity to add their own voice and their own vision to yours, to find alignment, find stakeholders, obviously find financial resources, find civic leaders and elected officials. It is truly a team effort. And so I think, the head down approach of I'm going to will this thing into existence, I think you knock your head against the wall. I think you got to pick your head up and scan the horizon, and be open and create an invitation, for others to be involved. And so that's been our approach when we go into these new cities, is we come with, resources, we come with a curriculum, we come with a playbook of what has worked in LA, what has worked in New York, but we also come with a openness to who is on the ground here that's already been doing work that's aligned with ours, whether or not they're a soccer organization, and how can we make space for them to be meaningfully involved, put their own signature on what we're building, because it is, we build with the community. We're not building for the community or delivering to the community. It's really a with the community ethos, and so that's my advice for building a park. That's my advice for just about any aspect of life, and take it for what it's worth.
Before I let you go, what have you learned from your own kids?
Boy, well, I have five of them, Doug. So, I have learned patience. I have learned. I've tried to learn how to leave space. I think that's how I'm oriented as a leader, is to try to, and as a coach, is to try to put people in a position to allow their personality to emerge, and to give them room to express themselves. I think that challenge is maybe the greatest with your own children. It's a, I'm a work in progress as a dad, but I have a rising high school senior, so we're on the college horizon, but I also have a rising kindergartner, so I still have the opportunity to go through that process all over again.
I don't know how you do it, but obviously you do it well. You have so many responsibilities. The summer camp that was part of the partnership with FIFA in New York City obviously was a special thing. You run camps all over the place. Why was this special, especially during this time of the World Cup?
FIFA approached us about being their program activation partner for a FIFA arena that they built inside of Central Park. We were glad to raise our hand and say yes to that. We have so many great programs and players and coaches across all of the boroughs in New York, and so to have a central location like Central Park, to bring all of those participants, but also other partners from around the city, and a partner with FIFA during this global moment, has been awesome. We do a lot of our work. A lot of our work is invisible to most people. It's tucked away inside of communities, that a lot of people don't visit. And so for our programming and our mission to be on a different stage isn't what we're all about, but it's pretty cool, and there's a place for it. And so, for our players from Sunset Park in Brooklyn or South Bronx, to be in Central Park with FIFA, oftentimes visitors from the U.S. Soccer Federation, it's a great feeling for these kids, and But at the end of the day, the park is the park. And so even though the stage may feel a little bit different, the game is the same, and that's what we're all about. You mentioned, the soccer having a sort of street-based ethos globally, and that's certainly the case. We are trying to, bring that ethos into as many communities and neighborhoods across the US as we can. We've galvanized a ton of momentum in the lead up to the World Cup. Central Park is an example of that. But for us, it feels like the beginning. And so we're really excited.
It is an exciting time for Street Soccer USA and for soccer fans all over the world. Once again, the World Cup final will be on July 19th in New York, New Jersey Stadium in East Rutherford, as Spain will take on Argentina. Street Soccer USA's Tim Helfrich, Davidson College star and coach, and now doing everything he can to make sure Street Soccer USA continues its wonderful program. Thanks for joining us on Sports Jam.
Doug, it's been a pleasure. Star would be a stretch, but was glad to represent Davidson and certainly glad to represent street soccer and super glad to have been here with you today.
Division One's Division One, Tim. You did quite well.
Thank you, sir.
Sports Jam is a WBGO Studios production. You can check out all the past shows by going to wbgo.org/sportsjam or wbgo.org/studios. You can also find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on the NPR list of podcasts or wherever you hear podcasts. Special thanks going out this week to Joe Favorito for hooking us up with Street Soccer USA's Tim Helfrich. Until our next Sports Jam session, I'll see you at the game.